Click the subscribe button and press the bell icon to never miss a video from Jewish Talks.
I'm an orphan and a survivor of sexual violence. My name is Natasha Noel, and this is my story. At the age of 3.5, the first memory I have of my mother is her cooking herself. Also, I have very inappropriate humor. She burnt herself in front of me, and I can still remember the day like as if it was yesterday. I still remember her screaming. I still remember the burning flesh. I remember everything. My dad had schizophrenia, so he couldn't take care of me because someone needed to take care of him. So when you're a child, your childhood should be rooted in love, compassion, and understanding. Mine was rooted in insecurity, self-loathing, and guilt. I stayed with my godparents, that's my dad's oldest sister and her family, and they tried to love me in the way they knew best how to, but it was still not enough for me. I still felt the void inside of me kept growing, and I felt pain, and I just was never happy. But also, I learned how to mask, because that is the way I learned how to cope. So I pretended. I pretended I was fine. I pretended everything was okay. At the age of 7, I was raped by my domestic help, and I don't even remember what happened. All I remember was one moment we were playing, and the other moment I was washing the blood of my vagina. It was just like a lucid dream. For me, sex and rape, I couldn't even spell at that time because I have dyslexia. Right now, I cannot even spell dyslexia without auto help correcting me. But at that time, his mother told me that I should run away and get married to him because he loves me so much. I was just 7.5. For me, I didn't understand what was happening, but the guilt kept growing. He actually told me that I should run away and get married to him because no one else will ever love you. Those words are still engraved in my soul like a tattoo, which is so difficult to heal, but I'm healing. The guilt just kept growing. I felt like I was the reason why everything was happening to me, all the bad, and it was just getting worse. I was sexually assaulted from the age of 8 to 14 with my cousin brothers and sisters, and I had enough. I didn't know what to do, and I kept believing I deserved whatever was happening to me. At the age of 10, I went into therapy because now my parents realized something is off with her. She has so much anger issues, she has so much of everything, and she's just not saying what she feels. So they put me into therapy. This was one of the best things that happened to me because at this time, my psychiatrist realized that I was not talking. So she put this paper in front of me and she told me, you can do whatever you feel like. I took up the pencil and I wrote, and I took up the crayons and I colored, and I just realized that for me, art was my expression. And that is where I found a little way to cope. Self-victimization was my baby. It was something that I was so good at. I would cut myself. I would think that I am a burden, that nothing in life can ever get better because, come on, it's just getting worse. At the age of 16, because of my psychiatrist, she told me to go in for dancing, so I used to dance here and there. But at the age of 16, I was a professional dancer. And dance was something where I found myself. Dance was something which allowed me to be me. I did not feel like anyone was judging me, and I could express how I felt. And I was just the happiest at this point of time. In my self-victimization period, I hated my body. I realized that my body is the reason why things are happening, why the world is the way it is, because we have a vagina and men can enter as they please without our permission. At 17 was when I got into my first serious relationship, my first love of my life, and it was great. At 19, my mother told me that I need to focus on my studies and I'm not studying enough. And I told her that, no, I don't want to. I want to dance. This is what I want to do. I want to travel the world. And I'm living my life for the first time. I don't want to do anything else. That same year, I failed the year. And that same year, I got a knee injury. My meniscus muscle tore, my corneal muscle tore. I got liquid in my knees and my front kneecap had tears all on one knee. The doctor told me that I can either dance or I can walk. So the thing that I loved the most, and I was actually happy for the first time in my life, was taken away from me again. I went into the set of depression where I didn't know what to do with my life. But I always believed, because I was so good at pretending everything was okay, I put on this mask and I pretended everything was fine. I moved on. I finished my graduation. I graduated in English literature. And at this period of time, for a year and a half, I didn't do any physical activity because I was not allowed to. But because I started working since I was 17, I needed to do something. So I was a professional photographer. I used to take pictures of dancers because that is as close to as what home would feel like. But I was still unhappy. At the age of 21 is where the love of my life broke up with me, and I was devastated. We were together for 5 years, and it broke me completely because the one thing I trusted again broke. I went and I took up food, and food became my love. Food became the source of inspiration in my life, and I was like, this is what I'm living for. I kept eating and eating and eating. I would eat and puke and eat some more just to try and fill that void inside of me, just to try and feel something's all right. I realized what I was doing was just going from one numbing device to the other. From the age of 15 to about 20, I would smoke and drink like a crazy person. I would do that because I had no other means I just did not want to feel anything. But at 20, I stopped. But then at 21, I started eating food like as if it was my best friend. This is what depression looks like. This is what you feel when you feel nothing, is what depression feels like. I can't stand and explain to you what is right and what is wrong, I can't. But for me, I knew that the society that I'm living in, would never be able to handle a sad person. So I would pretend to be happy. For the longest time, I believed that what I had was a disease because, come on, you cannot get up in the morning. You cannot look at yourself in the mirror because you find yourself disgusting. You cannot go down for a walk. You cannot do anything. You find it difficult to go and brush your teeth. You find it difficult to trust someone. You find it difficult to do anything. So there must be something wrong with you. But little do people comprehend that depression is not a choice. No one chooses to feel so alone. No one chooses to feel so insecure. No one chooses not to allow someone in. No one chooses not to feel love. No one chooses that. But then I realized that I can come out of it if I want to. I got up one day and I was sick and tired of my life. I was sick and tired of just believing that I was a burden. I was sick and tired of thinking I was a curse. I was sick and tired of cutting myself. I was sick and tired of just feeling so numb that I got up and I said, I need to make changes in my life. I can either constantly live in this, or I, as a human being, can choose to try and make myself better. Because let me tell you something, no one cares about you or your mental health. Only you can do that. This is me today. I'm 25 years old. I run to the face of my problems now. I don't run away from it. I am dyslexic and I write. I have asthma and I run. I'm a social media influencer. I talk about things that no one wants to listen to. And I still do it. I do it because this, I started becoming the voice of people who would be so afraid to talk, because for most of my life, my entire life, I was afraid to talk. I've come in numerous magazines, newspaper articles. I have done a lot of interviews. And the 3.5-year-old me would never believe that I am here today. Would never believe that, whoa, what is wrong with this girl? Would never. I never thought I would. But I am here. This is me today. I am 25. I am still insecure. I still have depression. And sometimes I still need to take medications for my insomnia. I still do have anxiety. But you know what's different? I am genuinely loving myself. I am genuinely accepting myself for where I am and who I am. All those monsters and demons that I thought were evil, I'm going and hugging it and being like, you're going to be my friend from now on. It's okay. It took me a long while because I used to think that self-love needs to be shoved down your throat, and I used to believe that that is love because that's the only thing I experienced. Till I realized that I need to be gentle with myself. And it is very, 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 very hard because most days I'm just stuck. I'm wondering what is happening. But then I realized that there is a difference between feeling good about yourself and self-love. I can do a workout and I can feel great about myself. But if I go and have cake or pizza right after that, I'm going to feel guilty. And then I'm going to start, the negative thoughts are going to come into my head thinking, oh, why are you doing what you're doing? And you're so useless. You're so worthless. You cannot do anything in life. And you try to do something, but you can't. But those are the moments now I realize that I need to be more kinder to myself. I need to be more gentle with myself. That is self-love. That, for me, took the longest time to realize that I need to give myself time to grow, because self-love and self-acceptance is a process. If my brain for 22.5 years has been wired to think that I cannot do something, or to think that I'm useless, to think that I'm worthless, it's going to take time for me to rewire those things, for me to untwist and do those things and believe in myself. So this is me here, right now. It took me a long while, but I realized that there is nothing that can grow from a space of hate. That the only way I can grow and love myself is if I forgive myself. So I'm doing that today, one breath at a time, and I am not blaming my past. I am not being a victim to my past, because I know now that I write my story. I can either be the writer, I can either be the creator, I can be the artist, I can be the musician, whoever I want to be to my story. And I will not blame myself. Thank you. If you feel my story resonated with you, please feel free to write your story, whatever you want, below, and let's have a conversation. Also, subscribe to Josh Talks.